In the book of Hebrews, the author challenges his listeners to the superiority of Christ. His listeners are all Jews, so there's a lot of Jewish terminology in there, and there's a lot of it's coming out of the Old Testament. And unless you understand the attitude and thinking of Old Testament into New Testament, then you're going to struggle with some of the difficult passages in Hebrews. Some people, if you don't understand, because all of this comes from the Old Testament, but besides that, the superiority of Christ in all things, he is superior to all things. He is our all in all. He is our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend, our Creator. He's all in all in these things. And as that book sums itself up, through him let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Sacrifices of praise. So I've challenged you in a vision challenge about, are we truly thankful, and what does it mean to be truly thankful? What is the attitude behind thankfulness? We're going to look at that, because in our life, we want peace. And peace sometimes is hard to get. We toss and turn, we lay awake at night, not having peace about an issue, not having peace about something. But thankful heart is a heart that's at peace with God, because the reality of who he is becomes a reality in our spiritual life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is always looked at as is there's some kind of fear there, and it's the beginning of wisdom. What is the awesome fear? Is that God knows all things and that we don't. And that God, knowing all things, can give us his wisdom by his grace and mercy. But we need to understand, if we truly fear God, we need to understand he is the teacher, we are the student. He is the Savior, we are the saved. He is the Redeemer, we are the redeemed. And there's a gap there. We cannot save ourselves. We needed God to save us. So he transcends that gap that's between us through Jesus Christ and brings us to himself. He reconciles us to himself. And in that reconciliation, we have peace with God. But that peace with God needs to be realized by faith in believing he truly is who he says he is. So we want to look at that tonight. I went to Hebrews because it brings in the thought of sacrifices of praise. And I had Don Wright read from Leviticus about the peace offering in the Old Testament. And the peace offering of the Old Testament is also a thanksgiving offering. So what did those things actually teach? They taught an attitude of thankfulness. And it created an atmosphere of thankfulness. And it created a heart of peace, therefore had a heart of peace, in which we can enjoy pure fellowship with God. And keep in mind that this Old Testament system taught the Old Testament Hebrews as much about forgiveness and the peace of God that we know. Somehow we think they didn't know anything. But when you start to understand those sacrifices and that whole cultic system of worship, we begin to think they knew quite a bit, those who are faithful. Obviously, the same is true today as there was then. There are people who couldn't care less about that sacrificial system. There are people who were kind of religious about it, but the true believer began to understand it. First of all, if you wanted and desired peace with God, it was because you were thankful for his deliverance of some situation in your life. God had reached down by his grace and blessed you. So you would go and offer a sacrifice. But the first sacrifice that you would offer is a burnt offering. Now that is a complete, total sacrifice to God. You took the best of your herd, maybe it was a bull, the best of your flock, and if you were poor, it was your turtle doves, because those folks had absolutely nothing, but God gave weight to the turtle dove as he does to the bull for the same process. You would go before God with this sacrifice. You would check it out. It was perfect. You then would lay your hands on that sacrifice, and what you were doing was accepting that sacrifice to be in your place, and you are transferring your sin to that sacrifice, then you killed the sacrifice. Now, you may not think much about that, but if you're a farmer and you took the best animal that you had and sacrificed it, that'd be a huge thing. The reason why is the quality of your herd is found in the best ones. You would recognize that to be accepted by God, I'd have to sacrifice the best that I had, and it cost something. God didn't accept the broken down dead ones that you wanted to cull out of your herd. He took the best ones that in human terms would guarantee the quality of your flock. That's a huge step. Anybody who raises cows and knows about the genetics, he knows what, understands what I'm talking about. So the worshiper had to exercise faith in God that he would protect the genetics of his flock, even though he was sacrificing the best one of the flock. So the burnt offering went before God, broken and humble heart, to be forgiven, to be accepted by God only by the shed blood of innocence from a faithful heart. And if the Hebrew that went before God with the burnt offering and the sacrifice was complete, he didn't get any of it. All of it went to God, symbolizing what does God want from us? Half of us? Three quarters? Seven eighths? If we seek God, how are we supposed to seek him? Half-heartedly? Give him a quarter seeking? All our heart. We'll find God when we seek him with all our heart. How are we supposed to love him? With what? All of our heart, soul, and mind. So that is the attitude of the worshiper going with this sacrifice, whether it's a bull, whether it's a lamb, whether it's a goat or a turtle dove. So he goes and he offers that sacrifice on the altar. He kills it. The priest will offer what is necessary on that, and it's completely burned up. Now, once that is done, the relationship between God and the worshiper are, they're in fellowship with one another. Now, because of the grace extended to that worshiper, he offered a peace offering, which is also a thanksgiving offering. Well, what did he do with that? Well, he took that and the same process, laid his hands on the head of the beast, sacrificed it, cut it, and then the priest would do, he would take out the entrails and the fat, and Donnie was talking about that. The entrails of fat, primarily the kidneys and the lobe of the liver. And he would take that, the blood and the liver and the kidneys would all go to the sacrifice. Those all belong to God. Then the priest would get a thigh, and they would eat of that thigh. This is a meal offering, communal meal. And then the worshiper would get the rest. Now, what are the elements here? And this is a thankful heart. Thankful for the grace of God that was realized in his life. All right, when we look at these things, we look at burnt offering first. That's a picture of salvation there and the acceptance of God. Then the peace offering. God receives the blood and the kidneys. And what was that? Well, life is in the blood, so that's okay. Life belongs to God. He gets the blood because life is in the blood. You remember Hebrews were not allowed to eat the blood. It would belong to God, and life was in the blood, and God is the God of life, so that makes sense. But what about the kidneys? What in the world is that all about? Well, the kidneys in the scripture, and you'll find that as you go through the scripture, the word kidneys used for the internal person. It can be as emotions, his desire, his heart, his inner person. In Psalm 51, when David's confessing his sin, he says, God desires truth where? In the innermost being. And that is so true. Oftentimes we go before God and we've got some kind of facade up there thinking God can't see through it. That's not true. God can see through it. God, when you repent of your sin, when you seek God with all your heart, soul, and might, you are completely broken before God when you do this. God wants to see you surrendered. Do you want peace from God? It comes through being thankful, but you have to start by being surrendered. And God takes the kidney and the lobe of the liver and the fat of the tail because that's bringing your best and bringing you internally, who you truly are. That's why David says, God desires truth in the innermost being. I am going before God with my innermost being. I am totally surrendered to God when I give thanksgiving to Him. Because I'm thankful, because God in His grace and mercy has extended to me a blessing. And I need to go to God and thank Him for it. But we can't have peace with God until we're surrendered to God. And that's just the way it is. And it all plays into the Bible talking about, come let me teach you the fear of God. That's it. He is the God, I am the creature. He is the one who extended grace towards me. I need to be surrendered to Him. And so it comes in the form of a peace offering, which is also called a thank offering. It's kind of neat that God put those two things together. If I'm truly thankful, then I will be at peace with God, because I've come to God surrendered. How many have gone into McDonald's? Dear God, thank you for this food today. You chuck that out there. And then you start to complain about the French fries being soggy, the hamburger not tasting right. My, they left a pickle on that hamburger, and I don't like pickles. And I just can't stand them. We just thank God for this. Now you're complaining about the food? What did Israel do? They thank God about the manna, but what happened after a while? This manna, we're getting tired eating this manna. We don't want this manna anymore. But what was manna? It was a miracle. Miracle come out of heaven and fed those people 40 years. They kind of complained about it. A truly thankful heart will be at peace with God because they'll say, God has blessed me. Truly blessed me. If it's manna, that's great. That came from God. Because my very life, my very existence is dependent upon God, and He in His grace has blessed me with graham crackers. Can we be thankful for graham crackers? Well, if you're over five, or if you're under five, you might be thankful. But the point is, if we're truly thankful, we are surrendered to the will of God. And His will might not be for us to have all this over here. It might be for us to have this over here. Are we truly thankful? If there's a big event in our life, we can be truly thankful for that. What about the difficult times in our life? Can we be thankful for that? God desires truth in the innermost being. So therefore, as we give the kidneys, so to speak, of ourselves to God as a sacrifice, we are giving Him our complete heart, and we are surrendering ourselves to Him. It's kind of interesting when we see Christ praying in the garden, facing the wrath of man and the brutality of, or the wrath of man because they hate righteousness. He's going to face that. And He's facing it for us. He's going to face the wrath of the Father for the sin that we deserved is laid on Him. And He's praying. And is it any wonder He says, is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. That is a thankful heart that's at peace with God in the midst of trial. Jesus is the ultimate peace offering that God receives on our behalf. We have peace through God, through Lord Jesus Christ. We were enemies of God. And through the peace offering of Jesus Christ, we were reconciled and brought back into proper relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is a peace offering, but the offering Himself is surrendered to the will of God. I think it's a powerful testimony. He is surrendered to the will of God to the point of He's a living sacrifice. Not my will, but thine. Jesus is thankful as He carries out His ministry. He's a peace offering, but He's also a demonstration of a thank offering as He goes before God on our behalf. So truly a thankful heart is found in the peace offering. Now there's something else. As we see, okay, God gets the blood, He gets the kidney, the lobe of the liver, and the fat. The priest, who's doing the work in between, he gets something. He gets a thigh to eat. And then everybody in the courtyard that's with this worshiper also shares in the rest of the beast, which is kind of interesting. If God has shown grace to me, and I come before him completely surrendered to offer my thanksgiving to him so that I will have peace, God is big on us sharing things. If God has blessed me, then I in turn need to bless somebody else. So what happens is there are people in this courtyard that come before God who have absolutely nothing. But look, God blessed me and I'm offering a peace offering to God. God gets some, the priest gets some, I get some, and everybody with me gets some. God shares his blessing with us. If we truly are thankful and surrender to God, what are we going to do with other people? We're going to share that same grace and blessing with other people. Interesting to note, Jesus tells us to love our enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. What are we doing? We're sharing the grace that God has given us and our salvation with another person. We become the peace offering through Jesus Christ. We are the ones surrendered to God's grace, and in being surrendered to God's grace, I need to share what God has blessed me with somebody. That's a thankful heart. How many have ever said, I don't have much, but what I have, I'll give to you? That's a surrendered person. That's a person who understands that everything that they have comes from God. Everything that they have. We are only to be good stewards of the blessing of God. Think of the worshiper in the Old Testament offering sacrifices. Who do those lambs and those bulls and those turtle doves belong to? They belong to God. Nothing we have in our possession is actually ours. It's from God and it's on loan. And it's to be used to share with other people. God shares his grace with us. Why do we think we're not supposed to share our grace with others? It's called the sacrifice of praise. What's sacrificial about thanksgiving? I am denying myself, and I am surrendered to God. I am going to bless another person. God has blessed me, I'm going to bless another person. It becomes a sacrifice. We talk about the building renovations here. There's going to be a point where it's sacrificial giving. Do we thank God for the money that we have, that we can give to the work here in the Independent Baptist Church, and that giving might be sacrificial? It's kind of interesting, too, in Romans chapter 12, what are we called to be? Living sacrifices. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Thankfulness is part of that. So we have blood and kidneys, inner parts belong to God, thigh belongs to the priest. Everything else belongs to the worshiper and those around them. You see how everybody benefits from that? It's not just the worshiper. God is praised and glorified. The priest is blessed. Everybody else around you is blessed. That produces real thankfulness. I'm thankful for what God has blessed me with. Therefore, I can share it with somebody else. I can turn it over to God. If we're truly thankful for the grace of God, we will be surrendered through our own personal sacrifice. We'll offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and we will share the blessings of the grace of God with others. We somehow don't like to be surrendered to God. None of us do. We kind of fight that. We'll surrender to God. Not my will, but thine. But look at the power of the change of in Christ when he said, not my will, but thine be done. What happened? The people were saved. Not only were people saved, but the creation itself now will be saved. And it'll be redeemed back to the very good state that it was when God created it. That's a huge difference. If we live a thankful heart that's truly surrendered to God, it will bless others in a very powerful, powerful way. I'm going to Colossians chapter 3 right now. We're going to look at that. Look at a couple passages where thankfulness and peace come together. So I'm looking at Colossians chapter 3. And these are familiar verses. And chapter 3 talks about focusing on God and being dead to self and alive to Him. But I'm down to chapter verse 12, where he says, "And so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a pure heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." That's a pretty big heart. That's what we're supposed to put on. He goes down through here and he says, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." And unity is a huge thing with God. He likes the team all to be on the same page. The Bible's the playbook and he's the coach. And when he talks about being unified, it's in love for one another. If you look at all of these things, these are the things in a relationship toolbox that bring about peace within a group of people. And we should be thankfulness for the grace of God. What are we are thankful for? And to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, you better be thankful about that. That thankfulness should cause a surrender to God himself, because you are a recipient of his grace. So what is the reaction then? Okay, if I'm surrendered to God because I understand that God has chosen me, holy and beloved, put on a pure heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. These are all things that, man, that's all relationship builders. All things that we need to function as a viable member of a local body. He continues on, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And notice what 15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body. Be thankful. Notice "be thankful" is around there. So the peace of God ruling in our heart. Jesus was a peace offering and a thank offering to God. We need to respond with a thank offering of a total surrender of our inner parts to God so that we can experience the peace of God. And in the peace of God, we're filled with a heart of compassion. And all those things that were listed there as relationship builders to maintain the bond of peace in the group of people, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our church family. Those things are so vitally important. So let the peace of God rule in your heart. How's that? Be thankful. Peaceful hearts and thankful hearts are one. So let's let the peace rule in our heart, because how do you do that? Is by being thankful. Notice how thankful is used all through this passage. Notice this. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness where? In your hearts. There it is. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. How do you do that? By being thankful. How are you thankful? You're totally surrendered to God. And being totally surrendered to God, you are in a place of blessing, wherein you will share with others that love which he has for you, that forgiveness which he has for you, that long-suffering which he has for you, that heart of compassion he has for you, that kindness he has for you, that humility and gentleness and patience that he has for you. So the road to true peace is through thankfulness. And thankfulness is a total, complete surrender and understanding who God really is. I asked this to my Sunday school class. Do you believe that God is all-powerful? You can say that, but when you get in a difficult situation, do you really believe it? There's always a challenge for us in our faith to we can say that God is all-understanding, we can say that God is love, but when is that tested? We're in a difficult situation where we have no peace. Maybe it's a trial somehow. We're frustrated. We're angry at God. We have no peace. How do we get that peace? We got to be thankful to God, because in that thankfulness, God, we will understand and begin to say, yeah, God knows where I am right now. He understands, and he's going to grow me because he's the God of life. So he's got me in this position right now to grow me as a human being, to grow me as a child of his. Coaches do it all the time. You put athletes in positions they don't necessarily like so that they can get better at what they're doing. Teachers do the same thing. They put students in positions they don't generally like so they can get better at what they're doing. It's like God, a teacher giving a student test. Now, some students really love tests. Most don't. You got a 25-page paper to be done at the end of the week. They don't stand up and go, great, I can't wait to get started. I remember in coaching football, we'd have the football team run endurance. Endurance is a lot of running at the end of practice in a sweaty football suit. And you have to run, and the coaches are yelling at you to go as fast as you can go, and you're dying, and your lungs are concrete, and you're sucking dust and heat and everything else. Nobody's going, hey, coach, can we do more of these? Why do we do that? We do that to make these people ready to play the game. God does the same thing with us. The trials of life, those tough times, those difficult times, we need to be thankful. Count all joy, brethren, when you encounter what? Various trials. Because the testing of your faith brings about endurance. Do you need endurance in life? Is this life an easy life to live, or are we kind of cruising through? It's a difficult life, and we'll face difficult trials. God is preparing us for those things, because when we receive the grace of God through that trial, it will be used to comfort and encourage another person. Think about all the stuff that you've gone through that now you are equipped to come alongside another brother or sister of Christ or a person who needs you, and you can come alongside and say, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. How many people get comforted when they read the book of Job? Job is angry with God. He's accusing God of all kinds of stuff. And I've said this many times before. I do devotions in Job. And what gets me about it is at the end of the book, you know, the book talks about the patience of Job. Read it. Find out how much patience that guy had. God gets to the end of the book and he says, hey, fault finder. He calls Job a fault finder. Stand up and instruct me. Stand up like a man and instruct me. And God blows him away with information about the creation. And Job finally says, hey, I put my hand over my mouth. I can't answer God. He is far superior to me. He then begins to understand God is the creator. He is the creature. God takes care of his creation. He'll take care of Job. Regardless of what happens, regardless of how bad it is, God will take care of Job. What is in the end for Job? Double everything he lost. What is in the end for us in life? The glories of heaven. The glories of a new body. The glories of living in a world without sin. It's more than double. What was the end results for Jesus Christ? He counted it all joy that he endured the cross. For the joy set before him. Well, what in the world was... The cross was horrible. What was this joy in the cross? He is thankful to carry out the will of God because he was surrendered to it. But what did it do? And I said it earlier. It redeemed us. It redeemed the world physically. So as we go down through here, that thankful heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts to indeed which you were called into one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. With all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then this verse I read in the challenge. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Giving thanks. See where it shows up? It's more than just saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. There has to be a heart of surrender to the will and the power and the blessing and the grace of God in order to be truly thankful. Are you truly thankful? What would happen, another example, what if you couldn't get food? You didn't know where your next meal was coming. Would you be inclined to be more thankful if you ate a crust of bread in the morning and you don't know if you're going to have anything else in the rest of the day? We don't think about being hungry in this country too much. Chapter 4, in talking to masters and slaves and accountability, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert, in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Are we surrendered to God in our prayer life, or are we trying to manipulate God? Don't try to manipulate God. You can't do it. Put yourself with an attitude of thanksgiving. Look at where you are. Look at where God has you, and go from there. We are blessed. We are truly blessed as people. Thanksgiving's coming up, and we are truly blessed. And we need to remember that. And we need to look at, hey, God is taking care of me. I don't have everything I want. I remember when God called me into ministry, it was a huge decision because a lot of changes were going to happen. I had children that were lined up to go to college. Where am I going to get the money to pay for that or help pay for it? What's going to happen? And it was a big change for my family. I had a position in the school system doing something I loved, and I was secure in that. And God says, no, I want you to go into full-time ministry. It wasn't an easy decision. And it affected a lot of people around me. And it wasn't until I surrendered to the will of God by reading in Isaiah. I was reading between Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 50. There is no one like me. Who are you going to compare me to? I am the first. I am the last. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You start reading things about God, and they start really settling in your mind and your thinking. I can't do this, but God can. I need to surrender God to God and be thankful that he called me into full-time ministry. And there's a lot of things that's worked out in my life because of that. God has truly blessed me with tremendous amounts of grace, even though what I did affected my family. I wanted to finish with this one. It's in Philippians chapter 4. I grabbed too many pages here. This one you're familiar with. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be fearful in anything. We do. We're fearful people. Jesus said, fear not a lot. God says, fear not a lot in the Old Testament too. We are scared. We are scared of things we cannot control. We are scared of things that are way bigger than we are. But the thing is, we've got a God that's way bigger than the things that we face, who says to us, fear not. Surrender yourself to my will with a heart of thanksgiving, and I will redeem you. But notice what he says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplications, and here it is, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Do we pray with a heart of thanksgiving? Do we pray with an attitude of thanksgiving? Thanking God for where I am, thanking God for being who he is, thanking God, if we really believe that God is good and that he is the God of life and he loves me, what will he do? He will help me. He will encourage me. He will lift me up. He will bless me. But oftentimes, again, we go for God with our plan, with our what we want. And it needs to be not my will, but thine. Glorify yourself in me. This takes faith. But that's what the attitude of thanksgiving is. And so I finally get down through here, and he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want the peace of God guarding my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. But I first have to go before God without fear, with a heart of thankfulness, surrender to his will. If I really believe he loves me, if I really believe he has the power to keep me, if I really believe he has the power to change my life, then why can't I trust him with a thankful heart? Because once that happens, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I pray that God will help me understand the very things I'm preaching, to go before Him without a flippant thank you, Lord, with a real thank you, Lord, from a surrendered, sacrificed heart, to understand who He really is. He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is the Creator. He is the one who blesses us. He is the God of life. He's the one who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He is the one who has promised to sanctify us, to make us the best that we can possibly be as a human being. He is the ultimate coach. He's the ultimate teacher. He really, truly is glorified in what He does in our lives. Jesus said, I have accomplished the will which you have given me to do. You have accomplished the work that I've given you to do. I therefore have glorified your name. God will glorify Himself in us as we go before Him in a surrendered heart of thankfulness that says, not my will but thine. And our faith will be proven. And God's love will pour out. As the passage before talks about the love of God sums all of this up. I do love you and I will take care of you. Let us be thankful. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Truly thank you. We're here. We're listening to your word, but we need to be ministered to by you. We need you as the great teacher, as the great coach, as the great father, to mold us and shape us into your will, to surrender our hearts to you, that you will make us a beautiful piece of artwork, all to the glory of your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand. May the peace of God go with each of us, a peace that comes from God that the world cannot understand, the peace that comes from God through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins and His resurrection for our life. May we glorify you this week, Lord, in all that we say and all that we do, and give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Good evening and have a great week.